This might be the best quarterback draft class in years, and we have huge franchises like Chicago, New England, and Washington with a ton on the line. My name is Craig Horlbeck, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Ben Solak, and Danny Heifetz. We cover trades, free agency, the draft, obviously, everything. We'll tell you all about which quarterbacks are going to be good, which quarterbacks are going to be bad, like Kenny Pickett, and if there's a diamond in the rough, like Brock Purdy. Follow us at the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Pro wrestling is cool once again.
You guys were chanting, "This is awesome."
Yeah.
Yeet.
I don't like that. No.
I had to do some research really quick.
I have to finish the story.
All the nostalgia freaks out there are going to want the match.
I'm in on this idea, but only if
heard worldwide.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Ringer Wrestling Worldwide.
Worldwide?
A proud member of the faction known as the Ringer Wrestling Show. My name is Ben Cruz, and I'm a producer here at the Ringer. And with me, as always, are my tag team partners, senior editor at theringer.com, Cal Davenport, and of course, the super producer here at The Ringer, Mr. Brian H. Waters. You guys, I don't know if you know this, but it's Tuesday.
This is weird.
We've officially been repackaged, so the Wednesday aspect of this is gone, although it may still be on the artwork for just a little bit longer, but I'll throw this to you real quick. What wrestler repackaging is our comparison of going from Wednesday Worldwide to Ringer Wrestling Worldwide? Basically, what's your favorite wrestler repackaging?
Oh, those feel like two different questions to me. It's kind of
like, answer both. Give me both.
Because it's still going to be the same quality, and I'm not saying we're bad at all, but it's kind of like when the Brooklyn Brawler would there was that one era in the 90s where he would just be like a different football or baseball team or something like that. Like, it was like a random stretch of a gimmick like that. But no, I think my favorite repackaging, honestly, it's what makes me so mad now. I loved when Bayley made that switch from when she went heel, and because it was a very stark difference. She was hugging everybody. She had big inflatables. When she had that, I don't know what it was, and she ripped it, and she killed the inflatable.
So we're killing Bayley buddies right now. Is what
facts,
you're saying.
Facts. That's how I want people to be repackaged.
Okay, all right. I like that, Brian. You seem like you've got this thought through already.
Oh, we got the greatest repackage of all time.
Oh, I know he's going. Oh, gosh.
Oh, you already know where I'm going with this. This is from the Big Dog era to the Tribal Chief era.
Oh, my if that's God. The, here
you
we
know,
go.
I mean, Ben got The Rock, and it would have been that one, from Rocky Maivia to The Rock. But, I mean, we talking about, you know, we in a whole new lane. We in a whole new era, and it's our time now.
He set it up right now, too.
Okay, I should have predicted that one. I should have known that's where he was going to go. If I had to think about it, is this Kama Mustafa to the Godfather? Is that where
yes.
we, is
yes.
that could be a good that
exactly.
was actually one of the more funny ones and incredible ones. Or Papa Shango to the Godfather. I think
Papa Shango scared me as a child. Yeah.
Me, Mark Callis to the Undertaker.
Me. Oh, that's also a good one. I feel like we're Hunter Hearst Helmsley to Triple H. You know, it's a small tweak.
Yeah, but
a little bit more attitude.
An important one, though. An important.
Yeah, very, very important. So that's what I'll go with. That's what I'll go with our comparison is Hunter Hearst Helmsley. We're Wednesday Worldwide, we were bowing to people. You know what I mean? Curtsying, if you will.
And now we're just crotch chopping.
Yeah,
we're
just left, left could right. have been a world champion now.
He so could
that's have. A good yeah. one. He yeah. could have been a world champion.
Yeah. So we just exited like the dark matches. We were still doing a French accent. You know what I mean? And then we once we came to the main roster, we just we gave that up, but we're still.
I apologize. It was me, y'all. I'm the one who did the curtain call with no with previous permission. I'm the one who went out there.
You're falling on the sword.
Jesus, you're gonna.
That's nuts.
You should. That's you should have won the King of the Ring this year. Yeah, that's what should happen.
Hey, and that so that means Brian's gonna be running the company or the show. And
right,
like,
yeah, yeah, it's not that long.
Give this thing a couple of years. Yeah, It'll be a wrap. All right, guys. Well, it's again, thanks for joining us on this Tuesday for popping in. And with that, let's kick things off the right way with some high spot headlines, Raw edition. And you know the deal. I'm going to read out some of the most interesting headlines that came out of Monday Night Raw. And whoever wants to tag in and let some thoughts fly, let it fly. First up on high spot headlines, Becky Lynch is your new Women's World Heavyweight Champion, and I will throw this up for whoever wants to take it. Do you like the move?
It's so funny. Last week, I believe the title of the show was Becky Coming Back.
Yes.
Something along the lines of Becky Returning Soon.
That was literally one of our topics.
Yes.
She's World Champion. Mm-hmm. Do I like the move? Personally, no. Business-wise, yes, I understand it. But, man, I was, you know, I was rooting for Shayna Baszler. Kaz had convinced me on the Chelsea Green.
I was obviously so in on the Chelsea Green thing.
Always room for Liv Morgan. So, mm-hmm. and I found myself, like, really rooting for Liv as it got to the end. But I'm not mad at it. I'm interested to see where we go. You know, you could never go wrong with Becky Lynch. She is great. You know, you understand like how much she loves the business, how much she respects the business. So the thing to me, the moment wasn't her winning the title. It was that that pep talk that she gave Maxxine Dupri after Dupri had just got chastised by Chad Gable. And watching her, I got chills from that. I was like, that's a locker room leader. So,
yeah.
But overall, you know, I get it. Don't like it, but I get it.
Cal, you made a face. For which is great
this
for podcasting.
This is an audio podcast. What are yeah. we doing? I'm just kidding.
So, what are you? Tell us. You look like you had something to get off your chest. What is it?
Well, all right. So, I mean, it's not crazy, but like, all right. Last week, before we recorded, I was thinking Liv Morgan was taking again. The story had been there ever since Liv got in her shoulder injury many moons ago. I figured that's the track we were on. They got t-shirts and everything for the revenge tour. But then Wednesday, back when we were in our Hunter Hearst Helmsley era, you dropped the headline in the document that Becky Lynch was going to be on her way back. And I said, damn it, because the writing is on the wall. But it was seeing her yeeting with Jey Uso, I guess, on the European tour, I was like, oh, this feel like, and that's kind of to Brian H. Waters' point, that's kind of what I was noticing last night. Like, they definitely painted her to be not just a locker room leader, but like the biggest baby face on that show. Like, the when there was chaos going on backstage, there was, when she first grabbed that mic, I was like, I got this, don't worry. It was a little bit of Seth freaking Rollins swagger, but she was actually more of a baby face than him. Like, because it's that John Cena thing. It's that I know you're my competitor. And it's kind of sad, because what did she tell Maxxine Dupri? Show them why this won't be your last championship opportunity. Not show them why you're going to win this title tonight. It's show them why maybe in another couple months or further down the line, you may get another chance to wrestle me. I don't know what that may turn into something, but they did the thing that they did with Sammy and Jay that I love about, you know, the whole backstage. And but with Becky on the mic, it felt like something. And when she went and the smoke hit, when her music hit, it felt like somebody was about to be the champion. I don't know who else gets reactions like that on the roster for Raw, but Becky felt like what Triple H or whoever wanted her to be right now. I wished that chance went to someone else. Whoever you pick, you could have gave it to Nia Jax, you could have gave it to Liv Morgan, only because this is her seventh. Becky Lynch is now a seventh time. Like I see her carrying the flag, and they probably want her to do what they wanted her to do in NXT, and help put up women like Tiffany Stratton and things, whoever they feel like she can help build in this time of being a real leader. But I kind of wish, just like they chose with Damian Priest, to give somebody else that opportunity.
Yeah, I think I'm with you guys on that. Logically, I think it makes the most sense in that, piggybacking off her Tiffany Stratton point there, Cal, it seems like her and Liv are going to be feuding for this title for a little bit, right?
They better
and it
be.
It seems like they're going to make Liv more of a heel. Like they've kind of turned her a little bit, but she was still out there during her entrance last night. Right. So slapping hands of fans and whatnot.
Crowds love her.
Well, they still love her despite, in storyline and in actuality, she's the reason that Rhea's on the shelf, unfortunately. Right. But I do see that, her and Liv also have a past of kind of annoying each other, right? Like on the road to WrestleMania, they interfered in each other's matches, cost each other a match on the way there. So there's some of that built in, which I'm sure they'll throw in a video package at some point, right? But this is also probably going to lead down to, Rhea's out probably, by all reports, in the 4 to 5 month range, right? And I think you can draw this feud out, this Liv-Becky feud out, to where Liv finally wins the title around the time that Rhea's coming back. So I see the vision with that, right? Where it's, that's because anyone else who wins the title, I don't know if there's as much heat there when Rhea comes back, right? She already threw down the gauntlet where she said, when I come back, I'm out for blood. And there's already a built-in blood feud now with Liv Morgan. So I think this is, they're kind of giving Becky her a little bit of a shine for, hey, she's a New York Times bestseller now. What I mean? And the women's division probably needs that star power, at least right now, to elevate everyone else the way that Rhea was probably going to. So again, I get the whole, it would have been more interesting. I think it would have been more interesting to have Liv or Nia or even, again, Chelsea Green be the champion. I mean, going into last night, Liv Morgan was actually for my degenerates out there, she was the betting favorite to take that thing home. So it was definitely a surprise when Becky won it, but also at the same time, it wasn't. So it's going to be interesting the next couple of months, but, the Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins household, they didn't not have a championship for too long. So at least there's that. Right. And their daughter can still hold on to gold, for that family.
With that same similar design too.
Right.
Right. The exact same one. It's just the women's version. So it's going to be good. I mean, are you guys, how into a Becky Liv feud are you guys?
I'm here for it, but I know I am biased. But I think the thing is I mean, because you mentioned the stuff from this year, and I saw one stat saying that even if Liv Morgan's on a revenge tour, she lost the Rumble, or she was a runner-up in the Rumble, she was a runner-up in Elimination Chamber, and now was a runner-up in this
this
women's title Battle Royal. And apparently she's only won. I don't know what her other, win-loss record was, but she's not had the best of years, and she's only just been back fairly recently. But it feels like she had, her gear was different. It referenced the revenge tour. If you're going to do anything, and she took out the world champion, kayfabe or not, shoot, work, whatever, she took out the world champion. I don't know if they have a ranking system like AEW does, but she should be somewhere up at that top just in terms of picking her spot and trying to get that title around her waist again.
By default of finishing second, sorry, Brian, she should be the number one contender, right? Just to kind of set that up.
For a Becky and Liv feud, look, give it to me. But I want to see that title kind of go back and forth a little bit. I don't need like a long run. I want to see on this night, Liv Morgan greater than Becky Lynch. And then this night, Becky Lynch greater than Liv Morgan. And I think you can have a point where Liv and Becky can kind of be like, put Liv and Becky's top feuds. But I want to see it go back and forth a little bit.
Yeah. And a Liv heel turn, is that, are we good with that? If she kind of embraces that fully? Because like Cal said, Becky's over like Rover right now as this is one of these top baby faces. So Liv by default has to switch over.
Somebody got to be the heel. I mean, it can't be, if it's not going to be Nia Jax, it's got to be Liv Morgan. And I think Liv, I'm not sure how often Liv's been able to be the heel. In part because the fans love her so much, especially I don't know if her Liv Morgan, her squad has an actual name, but they love her.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably been tough to give her a proper heel run, but now would be a great time, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the women's division kind of needs it, right? Like, yes, a top heel. Yes. I mean, Nia, I think, is that by default, but
when you use her.
Yeah. They seem to just kind of be one foot in, one foot out with, you know, how much they want to commit to her kind of being at the top of the card. Well, it's, congratulations to New York Times bestseller and now your women's world heavyweight champion, Becky Lynch. It should be an interesting couple months here. Next one.
The gear was tight, too.
Oh, it was. It was great. It's fabulous. Next one here on High Spot Headlines. The King of the Ring is back. And it seems to be better than ever, ? This is the first time that people have been declaring for it for a while. Right? Like, once Gunther declared, I don't know about you guys, I was genuinely surprised. When he said the words declare, I was like, where is he going with this?
Yeah, me too.
I thought he was going to declare for, you know, the world heavyweight title or whatever it was. But for them to kind of prop the King of the Ring up like this, it also kind of makes sense with Triple H at the helm, right? Like, he was supposed to be that guy way right. back when. Right. And that's what the King of the Ring used to signify, right? It was, if you won it, you were next up.
Facts.
Were you guys as surprised as I was that this is kind of coming back, or they're at least trying to bring it back the way that they are?
No, I think this era right now that we're in, or that we're stepping into a WWE, we're 40 years at this point. I want to say everything seems fresh, but like it's really a lot of the more things change, the more things stay the same. Like I think to your point, and you know, we made a reference to this, it may have been before we started recording, about like, you know, things like the curtain call and stuff like that. Like, that was a very impactful moment for Triple H, only because if that hadn't happened, that may have changed the entire trajectory of his career, because he would have been the King of the Ring that year and probably would have been in line to have been a world champion way before he actually got that title around his waist. So that was a time where stuff actually meant something. And it's interesting that it's funny that the guy who we used to call Walter, who was never going to be coming to America. I remember that was like a sticking point. NXT UK was a thing. Cool. I'm going to stay here and chill in the United Kingdom. But then once like stuff changed and that was done and he finally made that decision to come over, it's been dope to see him kind of step out of that shell of being that. I'm not saying he's not that massive machine, but like he's letting, you know, being more ingratiated into the WWE way of things, in terms of like caring about a King of the Ring. But I think to your point, this feels like he may end up being that de facto number one contender if he ends up being the King of the Ring by the end of next month.
Brian, where are you at on King of the Ring in 2024?
I'm excited about it. I think with Gunther declared for it, it gives top guy, top gal status, right? When Baron Corbin won, it kind of felt like, okay, we needed something for a lot of these mid-carders that we're not going to throw the IC or the United States title on. Same with Xavier Woods. And we know like that was Xavier Woods' goal. I know he beat like Finn Balor, but it felt kind of lost. This feels like he could win it and be a number one contender for a world title, kind of like when Brock Lesnar won it. Now, What I would love to see is the King of the Ring tournament kind of in one night again. You know, I want to see somebody go, well, you know, the qualifier, but then see somebody go three matches to win. Right. I don't want to see just the finals. You know, if you're going to name the premium live event King of the Ring or King and Queen of the Ring, let's see these people have multiple matches.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what's going to be. I think that as of right now on Wikipedia, it just lists that the tournament finals are going to be on that PLE. So I'm sorry, Hollywood. I know this is a new era, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. But
it just feels like when you do it that way, it feels like you're a true King of the Ring. Like Bret Hart winning three matches, not using the sharpshooter. Owen Hart coming up the next year. Even I believe Owen had a bye also, but it feels like you're a true King of the Ring because on that night, you were better than everybody. So that's kind of the reason why I want to see it like that.
I mean, there's the whole aspect of that too, of the crowd seeing you multiple times. So they're just more invested, right? By the time you get to that final.
I love one night tournaments.
I mean, there was a time where King of the Ring really, really meant something, right? And it wasn't, there was never that whole official, like, oh, you're the number one contender for whatever title, right? But it was, again, it was a signifier that you were up next. When Austin wins it, right? Like, that's obviously one of the most, if not the most famous wins ever. And that, like, that was the rocket, you know, metaphorically and literally being strapped to his back to go to the top of the company. And I feel like they're identifying Gunther as the way that he elevated and brought prestige back to the Intercontinental title. Like they're trying to use him for this as well, right? And he probably should be the favorite to win because, again, he's going to be at the top of that Raw card for as long as he wants to be. So adding King of the Ring to that, I mean, it just makes all the sense in the world. It's probably going to be a situation, too, where it's like it's Xavier Woods, again, trying to be a two-timer, and then Gunther just kind of shutting that down.
Right.
But honestly, kind of all for it, right? And I think it's also going to be a situation where Drew McIntyre also declared for it last night before he fat shamed Sheamus in front of the entire world. Which, by the way, the burger after burger thing, I didn't want to laugh. But
I'm sorry.
It was an Earl Dyed moment.
Shouts out to the worldwide community out there. I love y'all for Earl Dyed. That's a funny.
Yeah, but I mean, it feels like Drew is going to get pretty, or he could be in the finals with Gunther, and then Punk's going to do something. You know, there's all these small pieces that are just connecting where it's all going to make sense by the final. So yeah, I feel like Gunther's got this in the bag, and I think he's going to play it up. Right, he's gonna play it up almost like when Booker T had the King Booker thing, which is again one of the best things ever. It's probably gonna be like that, where he's gonna elevate it.
Actually, I love the way that I don't love all of the episode of Raw all the time, but I like the way that you figure that segment started out with Gunther declaring for the King of the Ring tournament. It gets interrupted by Woods and Kofi, right? Mm-hmm. Woods and Kofi at some point then have a match with Kaiser and Giovanni of Imperium, which ends in them losing and Gunther walking out and Kaiser destroying Giovanni. I don't know.
Big betrayal.
Hopefully Giovanni is still around to exact some revenge. But when the dust settled and everything was said and done with that, those two situations, I saw Gunther with like the crown tilted a little bit with a big red, you know, whatever robe or what he may get a green one. I don't know what the color scheme is going to be, but Kaiser is going to be going back. And now he may even tell Samantha to be quiet, and he's going to be the one announcing the Ring General King Gunther and ripping off the robe and everything. If he wins, they're going to have to play it all the way up. Have to.
King Gunther sounds like an actual king.
I'm saying,
like a Game of Thrones king. Facts. So it's I think it all just fits. Do you think that they should attach an actual prize to it? Like the crown and the robe are all good, but if you win King of the Ring, should you be the number one contender, or should you have kind of your choice of a title to go after? Like, should there be a more quantifiable award at the end of it to kind of bring it back to where it used to be?
I think so.
Yeah, I do as well. It's all, because there's only so many opportunities, right? It's what, winning a Royal Rumble, winning the Money in the Bank briefcase, and maybe winning the King of the Ring, like, or just winning all of your matches. But like, you know, it's, there's only so many ways to like guarantee a shot like that. So yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Put it for SummerSlam.
There you go. A guaranteed match at a certain destination. I like that.
And then the thing is with, you know, because the King of the Ring was like, it felt like the official kickoff for the summer growing up.
Yeah.
You know, it was
always in June.
Yeah, June. Father's Day weekend. I remember, I believe one year it was the same weekend as like, you know, Michael Jordan and taking on the Utah Jazz. So it always felt like it's like, okay, boom. Like school ended, say, Wednesday or Thursday. Mm-hmm. King of the Ring was Sunday.
Right.
Boom, we're off to the summer. Last thing, SummerSlam, which was at that time, the end of August. So
yeah,
it felt like, you know, it bookmarked the summer.
Right.
Man, good times. Just kind of, that's how you used to signify. I mean, I remember we're talking to Brian about how he sees the calendar in wrestling seasons, right?
Yeah, man.
And that was literally, that really brought me back to literally bookending the summers.
Y'all couldn't see it, but that was Ben having a nostalgia freak moment. Like he really got transported back to his living room back in the day. He smelled the Cheetos and everything. I love it. Because I have those moments too where I'm like, oh my gosh, those Twizzlers were so amazing when I was watching. But I was thinking of when Macho Man became the king, he had the crown and he had a scepter. I wonder if they'll do something like he needs something. And I know when they do the shows in Jeddah, like what they had, LeBron got a belt when he won that Royal Rumble that one year.
The Power Ranger belt.
Yeah, it was a bright green belt. Yeah,
yeah.
It would probably go at my airships. I wonder if they're gonna have like a crown at least. He needs, and it should
definitely got to be a crown.
It should be something that can be taken, but like something he should cherish.
When Xavier had his.
Xavier had stomped his. It. Yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah. That was rude, man.
That was awful. Rude. That was awful.
It's just really ugh. So with that, if Gunther wins it, Cal, I don't think he's going to tilt it. He seems to be a proper, he seems to be like an actual royal figure. I think he's going to prop that thing squarely on his head.
When I think of that, I think of the one image of the Notorious B.I.G. It's just like a red background.
Right.
He's got a crown on.
Gunther doesn't strike me as a biggie, biggie guy.
Somebody should make that if he wins the King of the Ring.
That's true.
I don't know if it needs to be on Fanatics or not. Maybe somebody should.
I don't know what the rights are to that, but that'd be, I would rock that shirt.
That would be hard.
Honestly.
Anyway. Free game.
Free game right there. Last one here on High Spot Headlines. Dominic Mysterio is dealing with an actual injury. The reason why I think this stood out to us as one of the headlines from Raw was that it really highlighted Damian Priest as the top guy, not only in the Judgment Day, but on Raw, right? So on Raw last night, no Rhea for the first time in a really long time, and that's the way it's going to be for a while, unfortunately. Dom, unfortunately, legitimately injured. Finn wasn't on the show last night. So it was really Damian's, you know, as the top guy, it was really his show. And, you know, they're obviously building towards this Jey Uso match in a couple weeks. So we're now into what? This is week three of the Damian Priest as world champion era. Where are you guys on him so far? And I'll toss it to you, Brian, because this dude was at Yankee Stadium just living his dreams, which was amazing. And as an Orioles fan, I'm sure that probably made you a little bit sick. But where are you so far on Priest's run 3 weeks in? I know it's early, small sample size, but let's just take a temperature check. Where are you at?
I mean, you said it best. Last night, saw him solidify as the top guy. I was always wondering, I was like, okay, we need Cody off of that show.
Yeah.
Because in order for us to really look at this as pre-show, we need Cody off of it. I love the promo with him and Jey Uso to start it off because it wasn't a whole bunch of yelling, didn't feel so gimmicky. It felt like the Damian Priest that I really liked in NXT, where he was cool, but a little bit more serious. You know, it's like he's now carrying himself as a world champion. And then for him to like really get in Judgment Day's face and like stay out of my business, you know, but then when they got into it, he came to the rescue and he really displayed his leadership. And I really think he turned the corner because I didn't think going into WrestleMania, we always knew there was a possibility of a cash in, but the Damian Priest before that, I was like, I don't know if he's really, is he there yet? But the cash in happened. It was exciting. It's like, okay, now we got the moment. Let's see how you go about it. And I got to give him his credit. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen from here on out. But I thought he did well last night.
Okay. Cal, tossing it over to you.
Yeah, I mean,
where were you at?
Look, I've looked at Priest as the guy who's getting the belt ready for the next guy ever since he cashed in WrestleMania 40 Sunday. But I think it was interesting to have a night where there was no Finn the first. And they referenced, you know, Jey Uso straight up referenced, oh, Rhea's not here. So I guess you're, you know, the one that's, you know, then charged by de facto or whatever. It's funny to see him step up to that role though. And it only highlights the point I was trying to make earlier about the women. It would have been great to see someone who's not normally in that Becky Lynch spot to be given that type, because you need those. Every one of them needs those type of reps. Even if he has to realize, hey, if I'm going to wear that button-down shirt, maybe I don't need to wear those Jordans. Maybe it don't look right as a champion on screen. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying I noticed it. But he has to go.
The playoff 12s,
not a bad choice in shoe. I don't know if it completed the look. I don't know if it completed the look, in my opinion. But he, you know, neither here nor there. I think he needs to go out there and do this stuff and feel like the champion so he can act like a champion and come across as a champion, whether it's in France in a couple of weeks or wherever it's going to be, you know, however long he's holding this title. We every one of them who's in that role needs to do that to get everybody accustomed to him. So I applaud it. If we're scaling 1 out of 10, I'm like a 6. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop at this point, but you know, it's don't get me talking bad about Damian Priest. He ain't do nothing wrong to me.
Okay. So I'm going to pose a couple questions and sort of zag, because The last couple of weeks, the things I've enjoyed about Damian Priest have been everything on the outside of WWE. Like the moment of him going to Yankee Stadium, the backstage moments from Mania after he won with his family, The Rock coming up to him, Taker coming up to him, you know, Bayley, like all the love that he was getting, where you're like, oh, I get it. Like, this dude is just a good dude, right? And that should be rewarded. So let me preface it with that. Whenever he gets on the mic, there's just, for me anyway, there's something missing, and I've been trying to piece it together, right? Like, whenever he talks, I don't know what it is, but I don't know if if shut down is the right word, but it's just, I'm not necessarily fully buying what he's selling. Even when he goes full, you know, I'm in control of the Judgment Day, take care of business, stay out of mine, all that stuff, that's all good and well. But during his promo with Jey Uso, And once upon a time, Jey wasn't that great on the mic, right? So, you know, I want to give some grace to people where it's like, okay, maybe you'll get there. But again, Jay's never been world heavyweight champion. And that's the spot that Damian is in. So the lights are just a little bit brighter. I'm genuinely curious. One, am I being too hard on this dude in terms of the mic skills and the presentation? And two, like, is there something missing there with it? Because I don't know. I feel bad every time, right? When I'm just like, I don't know. I just kind of shrug.
When you sit back and you think about it, it's because he was on an up and down, right? As he was getting to the world title. Yeah. Where you look at Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes came in, honestly, as a top guy. And he had a whole 2 years of solidifying, you know what I mean? The first, you know, he comes back at WrestleMania. Then he opens the night, I believe he opened the Raw, or if he didn't, he was amongst the top promo, the Raw after that Mania in Dallas.
Sure.
And then every week, Cody, right? If you go back to, even with John Cena was U.S. champion. He dropped it to Orlando Jordan, but he's kind of coasted during his chase to JBL before ultimately dethroning him. Stone Cold Steve Austin the same way. After the Austin 316 promo, which they didn't have all the signs right away, which we learned in the Book of Wrestling, you saw that he was always in that top spot, even as Intercontinental Champion. Damian Priest really wasn't, so you're not being hard on him. It's getting used to it, and he's in that first title run that's awkward. Edge went through it. You know, when he first won the title, he cashed in. It was
Yeah, yeah.
Still got to get used to seeing you with the big belt. And, you know, I think it'll take time. Honestly, Priest losing the title within 2 months and then regaining it could be a benefit to him. Just depends who he has to lose to. In my opinion, he would have to lose it to a former world champion, even if it was Finn, right? But I feel like he would have to lose it to a former world champion, but even like Drew McIntyre, you know?
So do you think there's no shot that Jay wins the title in France?
Unfortunately, I don't see no shot. Unfortunately, I hope I'm wrong, but I would love to see it. Whole France going.
Because again, I mean, would it be the worst thing if he dropped it right away? Because Jay's on fire right now. Like, again, those overseas crowds were, you know, I didn't really know if they were going to eat up the, you know, the yeet hands. That's what I'll call them now. I'm always trying to figure out what those things are called. But they were eating up those yeet hands like it was everything out there. And that's where it's going to be. It's going to be in France. So I don't know. I don't know what the people of Lyon, France are like rhythmically, but I think that they'll be down.
They're trying to eat. The one thing about Yeet, and I'll talk about Damian Priest, I was not a fan of people, like, I don't know if it's Jey Uso treating the Yeet like the what, or the people in the crowd treating the Yeet like a what, but I didn't like the way that he was stopping so they could Yeet.
I think he was doing it to that. You could kind of just see it where the way that he was talking, he was going for the rhythm.
I don't like it. I get it. Mm. And it's another one of those things that kind of is a callback. I don't like the cadence of it, but neither here nor there. I thought that it was going to be a situation that we would be getting Finn versus Damian Priest over the title a while ago. The one thing that I think was most beneficial last night was Damian, because Rhea's not there and because Finn's not there, he has to throw his weight around. He has to say, I'm the champion. You have to get this done. And, you know, things got done. You know, he had to step in and do a lot of things at a certain point, but this is that thing that has to be done. And actually, when you were talking about it, because I had a similar thought to Brian H. Waters, but I think the other part is when you talk about Cody Rhodes coming into the top star, remember, Cody Rhodes was stardust for a minute. Then he left, and then he worked the indie circuit to get back to WWE. Like, he had to go, he was an NWA champion. He helped start another federation. Like, he didn't just leave WWE and come back a top guy. He put in the work. You mentioned, everybody mentions the Stone Cold King of the Ring. They don't remember that was one night. I don't remember what the time frame is, but it's not like he had the world title a week later. Like, there was still some time in between 316 and then, you know, being an actual champion. A lot of these people, when they're not a champion, still have to put in the work. Damian Priest And I'm talking like singles work in the main event scene. And I'm not saying that Damian Priest hasn't put in the work, but we've seen him as a part of a faction for the better part of 2 years at this point.
Yeah.
You know, with our first WrestleMania, Judgment Day was just really starting to become like a thing on their own. They had ditched Edge not long before, but they were really starting to become like a faction on their own. It's been 2 years at this point. So I think, I don't want to say he skipped that phase, but because he didn't have like a very strong solo main event thing, I think they're doing the work of establishing him as a champion as well as establishing him as a solo singles voice. And it's a lot of heavy lifting, but again, that's why he has to take that belt, walk out there with them playoffs on and be like, hey, I'm the champion. I know back in the day you beat my ass and I paid you them drinks that one night and I'm glad you got an Uber, but this is my championship. I'm going to beat your ass in France and then I'm going to beat whoever ass is next. Like, he has to do that. You got to walk before you run, and he didn't get to do that. So he's sprinting now, but he's got to hit all the points. He just has to.
Sure. All right, you guys have turned me. I'll be more patient with Damian. With Damian, who again I really like, and I'm just hoping it turns for me as well. So I'm gonna take some more time, and while I take more time to be more patient with Damian Priest, we're gonna take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience—the formula for winning championships—is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
What?
There it is. You heard the drop. It is time for They Said What? And for today's edition of They Said What, we're going straight to the Ringer Wrestling Worldwide Hotline, Hollywood. Tell us about the first caller.
This call comes from Trevor. And I think he DM'd me beforehand asking, was the hotline open? Because he had a take. Here we go.
Oh, the hotline's always open.
What's up, fellas? This is Trevor in Sacramento. First one to say shout out Swerve Strickland. Amazing accomplishment this weekend. Very happy for that man. But I wanted to ask about Samoa Joe. Now that he does not have a belt over his shoulder or around his waist, how do we feel about, and now that the Bloodline is letting in non-Nawaii and Fatu Samoans and Polynesians into the Bloodline, how do we feel about there being two Samoans named Joe in this upcoming Bloodline Civil War? Love the work. Can't wait to hear this week's pod. Earl died.
Jesus Christ.
By the end of our tenure, the podcast is just going to be called Earl Died, and nobody.
Ring of Wrestling Earl Died.
Yeah. Exactly. If you weren't listening way back when, you would have no idea why. That's funny.
We're gonna have to rename ourselves Earl. Earl 1, 2, and 3. He's gonna be nuts.
Shouts out to Uncle Earl.
Shout out to Uncle Earl, man. Yeah, his memory lives forever. This is an interesting.
It is interesting.
So bring back Joe to WWE, throw him in the Bloodline. So we don't know off top Joe's contractual status.
Right.
Like, he seems to be good in AEW for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe always seems to be kind of a lone wolf type of dude. So like, I don't know if him in a faction makes the most sense. I'd be interested to see it. Because if we're going to change up this, or what we'll just call them the new Bloodline for now, I'm all about making it as different as possible, right? So I personally would be in. Brian, as the Bloodline aficionado, where do you stand on Samoa Joe potentially being incorporated into this new Bloodline?
I don't want to see him in it. I want to see him go against it. Like, I am here for Samoa Joe to come back to WWE. Matter of fact, I was just watching on YouTube, like, Savage Moments. And one of them was when, you know, he was getting ready for all his opponents and he just went in on everybody, especially Jeff Hardy.
Yes, that's a classic.
You know, and then you think about the stuff with him and AJ Styles. So I'm thinking, like, man, like, he's crazy enough to kind of mess with, like, Jimmy and Jay's family and stuff to the point, like, they would be ready to destroy him. So, like you said, he's, you know, kind of been like a loner, you know, majority of his career. I don't necessarily want to see him in the Bloodline, but I would love to see him kind of intertwined in a feud with them.
Okay. Cal, where do you fall on this other Joe?
I was trying to see if there was any word on Samoa Joe's contract. A couple of years ago, they were talking about it possibly ending sometime around now. But he also just lost the title this past Sunday, so I don't know what his status is. So that would be my main question: is does he think after that reign he's going to be able to do anything else? I don't want to say beneficial at all, but, like, you know, what are his plans for the rest of his time in AEW or Ring of Honor? If he doesn't really have any and he wants to maybe retire in WWE, would he be a Hall of Famer? I don't know what the situation would be. Would he get a job at NXT? Like, where's his head at would be my first question. But secondly, putting all that to the side, if The Rock is making a Bloodline Hollywood, I think Roman Reigns may need to call Samoa Joe. Shout out to my brother Fam. He's always talked about Samoa Joe and the real Samoan Joe. But I mean, they're both Samoan guys named Joe. But I think the idea of the original three Bloodline members having Samoa Joe as, like, an equalizer for all of these people that are maybe outside of the family that The Rock or whoever's bringing in, it would make sense to me to bring. They've wrestled before, right? I would assume that Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns have they wrestled at all in WWE?
It would have been, wasn't it in a 4-way match for the title with them two, Strowman and Lesnar?
That makes sense. Yeah. So it's like faint history, but I mean, you know, you could at least say we've been down the road together before or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it makes sense to me if you're going to do it, but I also don't want to be the person to say, hey, you know, are you Samoan? Or, you know, what's your background? You know, how close can we be to add you to this thing? Like, you know, if it's not necessary, don't do it just because he's a Samoan Joe.
I mean, it would be hilarious if Rock runs back his PowerPoint presentation of just the chart.
He needs
of their
to.
Family, and he adds to. A second slide of other potential Samoans that could be in the Bloodline. That way, you're just constantly guessing if anyone could be a part of it. That would be a great heel Rock moment. But. Oh, yeah. I guess all of this leads me to this question is, do you want to see Joe back in WWE, period? After his, you know, after his run as world champ in AEW. So, and, you know, again, he could be there for a while, but if there ever comes a time where Triple H makes that call and says, Joe, won't you come on? Triple H loves to say, come home. Do you want to see that? Whether he's in the bloodline or not, do you just want to see Samoa Joe back on WWE programming?
Yes, primarily because his theme song in WWE is way crazy.
Yeah,
dun,
it's hard.
I miss that. And that's the one thing about his AEW presentation. His theme is fine over there, but I really like that fake Godzilla-y theme that he had in WWE. And also, I will say, I he's had his share of dope matches over there. I wasn't as satisfied with his AEW world title reign as I wanted to be. It felt like by the time they had him actually wrestling, it was time for him to give up that belt. So, I'm not saying it's going to be better in WWE for him at all. He may end up having a lot of bangers with Solo Sikoa if he does go back before his time is out. But I was frustrated with the way they treated him, not the way he treated him, the way they booked him as a world champion in AEW. I thought they could have done a little more.
Interesting. Brian, where are you at with him back in WWE?
Oh, definitely. I didn't want him to leave.
Damn.
You know, it was... Well, yeah, like some injuries and whatnot, but because I was also liking the YouTube stuff he was doing.
Right.
And then I thought he was going to be like, you know, a dope general manager or authority figure of some sort, especially because it's like, you ain't testing him. So
I like that. I like that. I like when they did that.
Yeah. And he was like one of those guys in TNA back in the day. I was like, that would be interesting if he was ever go. Like, at one point, I thought it was more of a chance of me seeing Joe than AJ Styles. Mm. And then when they both was over there, you know, but I think it would...
Their feud, too, when they were feuding for the title.
Mm-hmm. Yes!
Fire.
Like,
fire.
Oh, Wendy! Yeah.
So dope. He should have won the title then, by the way.
Off of that alone, yeah.
1,000%. 1,000%. Man, but I would definitely love to see him come back to WWE. You got, like I said, NXT is getting ready to go to CW. There's a place, I can see a place for him there. Obviously, Raw, SmackDown, put him on Netflix. Like, Samoa Joe is a star. So, yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did drop the ball the first time around when he was right there with AJ for the title, and it was just his time. Like, that would have gone over so much at that time, and they just kind of missed that window, right? It was just kind of like, I remember... when there was that window where him and Shinsuke just kind of had their moments, ironically, both with AJ, that they just kind of missed, right? They just kind of missed the boat on them.
Sometimes you got to trade that title.
Right.
You just got to do it. That's so
point from earlier,
Yeah, it's, again, I would love to see him back in WWE. And I feel like he would have interest, especially now with Triple H kind of running things. And again, when he was at the top of NXT, Triple H was running that show too. So I think creatively there's just stuff that they could figure out to kind of erase the back end of his, you know, run in WWE there.
Right.
All right. Before we get out of here, let's take a quick look at tonight's NXT Spring Break in night one. This is a little different. Usually we're recapping NXT, but tonight we're looking at, or today I should say, we're looking ahead to it. So Cal, kick things off for us. What are you looking forward to most on night one of Spring Break?
There's only one match I'm looking for. Assuming it happens tonight, and based off the commercial, it seems like it is. My eyes are locked to Trick Williams taking on Ilya Dragunov for the NXT title. It's either he wins the title or he's out of NXT, and those are two totally different scenarios. So my heart is in the Trick. You better win that title. Get a Trick shot, trick kick, trick knee, elbow, whatever you need, my brother. You get that title tonight.
Brian, what do you have?
The women's championship match, man. I'm looking for my girl Roxanne Perez to solidify herself. You know, adversity, throw in, give them both. Ava wants to play games and give her Valkyrie and Tatum Paxley. No problem. Roxanne got this.
Isn't it weird that they're putting both on night one? Shouldn't they have divvied that up?
That's the one thing that gives me, that's the one question I have is that all, because it's night two, and I'm not saying there's an NXT tag title match, there's an NXT underground match, and then Obafemi defending the North American title so far. I would have thought they would have had one of those title matches on the other night.
Unless you're saving it for something. You got that spot open, you know, say Trick wins and him and Melo again.
Him and Melo, you're right.
Or
you're right.
A triple threat.
Are you, Brian H. Waters, you talking me into Trick Williams winning tonight?
I mean,
he should win it tonight.
He should win it tonight.
Well, isn't it either way, either result that comes out of it, right? So if he wins, he's the NXT champion, face of the brand for the foreseeable future. If he loses, he's going to Raw or SmackDown with the draft.
Right.
Right? Like, that's just easy? I don't know.
Hopefully.
So, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
They could do something crazy where they have him thinking we're going to level up and then he'd just be back on NXT. I mean, obviously, I don't see that. That's way throwing stuff at the wall, you know, but I think it's Trick's time. You know, he's been putting in that work. Obviously, he's still got a lot to grow, but he's somebody I can see growing with the title because star power. He carries himself like a superstar.
You got to elevate and level up too. Yeah.
And I think there's more room to do that on NXT, right? Where you're like, that's kind of the point. And I know that they're trying to treat it more as a third brand, but if, you know, for all the smart marks out there, we still kind of know, right? It's just, it's still the developmental brand and he can actually grow with it, which is, I think, a little bit of why I have some questions around Priest sometimes, because it's just, he's on the main show with one of the main championships and be it fair or not, you know, I don't know if we kind of give the time for people to grow with that. And NXT, you absolutely have that time.
Right.
So this is usually where we preview AEW Dynamite, but they don't have much, if anything, listed for their preview on tomorrow night's show. So I guess I'll just present this question to both of you on our way out. Who should Swerve Strickland's first title feud be with? Cal, I'll throw it to you first because you seem to have an answer, or you're being extra contemplative.
I think my immediate thought is whatever's happening on Dynamite, it's probably going to involve Hangman Adam Page. That was his most ferocious feud, but going into this, they were both vying for that number one spot. And the one thing people were thinking was that at some point during that match, you were going to get an Adam Page run in. And I don't think we saw him at all over the course of that 4-hour, 5-hour card or whatever. So I would not be surprised if Paige comes back with a mission to be the first one to take the title from Swerve Strickland. That may be the match that they get for a Double or Nothing.
All right. Brian, who do you have?
Yeah, I like that. But if I had to go with somebody else, just for the sake of, I would say John Moxley. Just
title
kinda,
for title?
Oh, shit.
Well, I don't even necessarily have to do a title for title, but just kind of like really establishing Swerve, right? If Moxley's going to be, you know, Moxley kind of had an attitude of he can come get that AEW title when he wants because he's a multiple time champion. And that kind of being like, you know, Swerve's like, you know, you got to really like show you belong here by going through Moxley.
That's a good point.
That's a great point. And honestly, both great choices. Mm-hmm. I'm going with Ospreay. And I know that might be too soon, but also I feel like this is a situation where you got to strike while the iron is hot, right? Like that, what him and Danielson did on Sunday was unbelievable.
Yes.
And in terms of the other focus that's on Ospreay, right? Just the whole Triple H thing. And I know he said he's not going to talk about it anymore, but I'm not saying you have to put the title on him right away, but throw those guys in, like make it happen at Double or Nothing. And just, that's just where I'm at because I just don't want Ospreay to kind of fall into the Jay White situation where you're like, he's a six-man tag champion, trios champion. I'm sorry.
They did that with AJ Styles after WrestleMania 32. When he went against Roman.
But you talking about a totally different federation, though. I think in AEW, yeah. I think Ben's right on the money. Brian H. Waters stole something from my brain earlier. And Ben, you just stole something. There was a conversation I was thinking about yesterday after watching Danielson and Ospreay, because at a certain point, Ospreay. There's not going to be too many people that are going to be able to deliver that type of match. He's already wrestled Takeshita. He's already wrestled Fletcher. He's already wrestled Claudio. Now he's got Danielson. This was in the span of a month or two. I'm not saying it goes way down, but like, I can't imagine Ospreay, Wardlow, whatever 7-minute match you're going to have on Dynamite, working the same as any, they're not supposed to, but there's certain people aren't going to be able to do certain much with this guy. Him and Okada, like, those are two people that sooner than later are going to be in that main event scene. And I don't know if they're going to be wrestling Swerve Strickland or wrestling each other. But those are two people you're going to have to look out for very quickly. I wouldn't be my thought yesterday was, I didn't really have anybody. I had Swerve doing something at Double or Nothing. I think there's a Forbidden Door before the Wembley show, but at Wembley being Ospreay, Strickland, or Ospreay, whoever's a champion, and maybe that being the time where Ospreay gets that title. He already got whatever that number was tatted on his arm. He may need to get the title to make up for it this summer, you know. But, I mean, in all seriousness, it feels like you're 100% correct. Ospreay needs to be in that main event scene sooner than later. I don't think there's any choice.
And, I mean, him and Swerve would be incredible. I get there's, like, the build probably is, what, a month out right now? And maybe there's that's time, not enough time. Right. Maybe you want to build that into a longer program. But
yeah, you need some time.
Again, what this dude is doing is just unbelievable. There's just no other way to put it, right?
But you can have a match and then go away from it and come back.
They may have to.
Yeah, like do what Ben's saying, you know, strike while the iron's hot. But Ospreay, is Danielson really finished with him? Do we know?
Did you see Danielson on that mat? He looked like he was worse for wear after catching them power bombs and everything that he was going through, them kicks to the head. He was out of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they – I remember when Adam Page first won that AEW title, he did an hour match with Danielson. It was like – I think it's one of the few, like, 60-minute time limit draws. And then they had a rematch a couple weeks later, and it went, like, 58 minutes or 59 minutes, something like that. I don't know if they're ready to do Swerve and Ospreay like that, but maybe you do an eliminator match where it's, like, a time limit draw. So, and then they shake hands, and it's like, all right, we see where we're at right now. I got to fight the Callis family, and you got to fight Adam Page or whatever. But at some point, I not being the biggest AEW fan, but watching AEW over the last 5 years, that feels like something that would happen. They have a little statement and then hit pause on that to go do some other stuff to revisit in the future. So I think any of that is possible, but Ospreay is going to be up there seeing somebody for that title very soon at some point.
Right. I mean, the draw seems like, as much as maybe this is just me being an arrogant American sports fan, the draw is, it would make sense in this capacity where you kind of protect everybody. You still kind of give everyone what they want with just probably, in all likelihood, a banger of a match. Not a burger of a match, a banger.
Not a burger, but a banger, right.
Man, I'm really looking forward to Swerve's. I think of Cal every time there's a new champion. I hope Swerve is on this Dynamite. Because I remember after Joe won the title and he wasn't on that Dynamite that Cal was at, I saw the hurt in Cal's eyes. And I don't want anyone to experience that.
Growing up, especially as a kid who for a while did what my mom, you know, shouts out to my mom for when she could pay for the pay-per-views, and when we couldn't afford the pay-per-views, you would have to watch the next show, and they would show you the snapshots, and then the champion would come out, or something would happen with the champion to set up the next situation. And where it now it's like you can get a champion winning and then not see them on the show for 2 weeks for whatever reason. I don't know if they're selling injuries or what, but the way he already got the Who's House side plates I saw at the scrum. I feel like it always feels like a wasted opportunity, but you're talking about Ospreay. The only person who's got chants as loud as Ospreay, it seems, is those Who's House chants. So whatever that build would be, the two of them in the ring at some point, it's going to be deafening. The sound is going to be deafening in that room when that goes down.
Absolutely.
This just in.
Oh.
What do we got?
Cameron Grimes has been released.
Oh.
Really?
He
just posted a video on Twitter about 11 minutes ago that he got off the phone. It's kind of a sad one because he was like crying doing it, but he's just really, you know, announced that he got released from WWE.
Wow. Damn. That's
hard to hear that.
Man, he's got squashed by Braun on SmackDown a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That was very recent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of a string of them. I mean, Jinder was one that got released recently, right?
Yeah. Jinder. I mean, Von Wagner.
Isaiah Lee.
Yeah. It's a.
It's a couple of names have been out.
I mean, that's a bummer. That's a bummer for Cameron Grimes. He'd just gotten after that call up. They didn't really do anything with him. They just couldn't figure it out with him.
No.
That's a bummer.
It sucks. Sorry to hear that, Cameron Grimes. Sorry to hear that.
Well, guys, that is how you do Tuesday. that's such a weird day to say. But be sure to check out The Masked Man Show with David Shoemaker and Kaz on Mondays and Thursdays. If you're not already, be sure to follow us, subscribe, and hit us with those 5-star ratings here on the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. Cal, Brian, tell the people where they can find you on the socials.
I am at Cal on Twitter, at Cal Dub on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. But as always, it is not about me, Brian H. Waters. Where can they find you and where can they find the squad?
I'm at Brian H. Waters on Twitter, Threads, Instagram, and TikTok. But Ringer Wrestling, at Ringer Wrestling on Twitter, Threads, Instagram, and TikTok. Make sure y'all follow over there. It's been a lot of activity over there. So don't want to miss out.
We've been moving. You can follow me at Cruise Control. It's Control with a K. Twitter, Instagram, Threads. But again, at Ringer Wrestling across all of those platforms. And TikTok is where it's at. So be sure to follow us over there. Thank you very much to Troy Farkas for producing this episode, making it sound better than we should. Gentlemen, thanks as always for the Graps Chat. Everyone else, we will catch you next week.
Worldwide.